everybody. Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with Bubba Jenkins.
Yay, yay.
Tyler Bowe.
What's going on?
Elias Theodoro.
Buongiorno.
Yes, guys. And listen, if you're a fan of MMA, you're probably a fan of football. And guess what? Only a few more preseason games to go before the regular season kicks off. And you can start the season by winning $2 million in week one at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. It is the biggest fantasy football contest ever. $10 million in prizes are up for grabs, including $2 million for first place and $1 million for second. One-week fantasy means no season-long commitments. It's fantasy football on demand. Play where you want, when you want, with the players you want. Just pick your players, pile up the points, and pick up your cash. That's it. You've never experienced football like this. Every game feels like the playoffs, even in week one. And every broken tackle or spectacular catch could take you closer to the $1 million prize. This isn't fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. So, hurry to DraftKings.com now and use promo code ROASTED to play free for a shot at $2 million in the Week 1 Millionaire Maker. Enter ROASTED for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Also, if you're looking for a great way to make money, start driving with Uber. If you have used the Uber app to get around town, driving with Uber is just as easy and just as great. Here are some reasons people love driving with Uber. You drive when you want. Need something outside of 9 to 5? Well, as an independent contractor with Uber, you've got freedom and flexibility to drive whenever you have time. Set your own schedule so you can be there for all of life's most important moments. You make good money. You got a car? Turn into a money machine. The city is buzzing, and Uber makes it easy for you to cash in on the action. Plus, you've already got everything you needed to get started. No office, no boss. Whether you're supporting your family or saving up for something big, Uber gives you the freedom to get behind the wheel when it makes sense for you. Choose when you drive, where you go, and who you pick up. So what are you waiting for? You have a car. You have a license. Put them both to good use and start making money today. You can sign up and you can make thousands of dollars in fares in your first month driving with Uber. Sign up today at Drive with Uber. That's drivewithuber.com. That's drivewithuber.com. Drivewithuber.com. Also, has your business been vandalized? Have gang members destroyed your business storefront? Well, then call the professionals at Remove It Restoration. They remove graffiti, restore etched windows, and get your business back to a brand new for a fraction of the cost. Your business image is very important. Do not leave it in the hands of the amateurs. Call the graffiti removal team at Remove It Restoration, which is 1-888-424-9697, or go to removeitrestoration.com. That's removeitrestoration.com. The guy Eric is cool as hell. Definitely check it out. Also, American Icon Autographs, AIASE.com. They have the best sports and celebrity memorabilia. They have signed collectibles from the UFC, WWE, baseball, football, movies, everything else in between. Their past signings include Mike Tyson, Cheech and Chong, Dan Henderson, Hulk Hogan, Burt Reynolds, Ernie Banks, John Wood, Marcus Allen, and hundreds of more. Go to their website to see who's signing next. Check out their events, meet the celebrities, and build your man cave. That's AIASE.com, American Icon Autographs. Cool. Also, tip a fighter. Guys, it is time for fighters to get paid more. My man Bubba Jenkins is in charge of tipafighter.com. It's not charity. It's 100% pay for performance. We are going to make these fighters more money. And guys, these fighters work their asses off. A lot of them have part-time jobs, full-time jobs, two jobs, three jobs. It's time to reward these guys. You tip a waiter, you tip a waitress, you tip a stripper, you tip all kinds of people. The fighters are working harder than anybody. They deserve to be tipped. So go to tipafighter.com at tipafighter. Fighters, want to make more money? It's free money. You're in there anyway. You might as well get paid more. Who knows? I put $1,000 on you. I win. You know what? Here's $100. Thanks, dude. Go to tipafighter.com. Tip a fighter. Also, right now, I am drinking the most delicious coffee I have ever had in my life. Chimera Coffee. Listen, this stuff is unbelievable. It's premium, high-altitude sourced coffee from the Dominican Republic, and it is infused with high-quality nootropics. What are nootropics? They're brain vitamins. They blend their coffee with premium nootropics that were carefully chosen to create the right mental and physical edge you need to carry on your daily grind. The benefits from nootropics are numerous, and they include enhanced focus, mood and reaction time, increased natural metabolism, fatigue reduction, and cardiovascular support. Nootropics have been also found to help counteract things like Alzheimer's, brain injuries, dementia, and Parkinson's. This coffee is delicious. I'm telling you guys, become the legend. You can get it at KimeraCoffee.com, KimeraCoffee.com. Use the coupon code MMA Roasted. Guys, how are you? It is so good to see you guys here. We got, I saw Elias came to my show on Saturday night.
I did. He is hilarious. Sorry to cut in.
No.
Just the idea that, again, I know you specifically for your MMA comedy, and just to see your how slick you are and how actual able you are to just go back and forth and on the crowd,
man.
Was awesome.
Oh, thank you, man. It was great. I saw you and Marina, and then you brought this guy who's like it's bad enough to take a picture with Elias because I take a picture with him, put it on Instagram. Every girl that I didn't even know was even following me, who's your friend? Ooh, wow, sexy. Girls never called me sexy before. I know exactly who they're talking about. I became the fat friend in the picture. And then he brings a guy who's like got 3.5 million followers, who's a professional model. The guy's got an 8-pack.
Yeah.
As if I couldn't even feel worse about my life. People were writing on my Instagram, you are not getting pussy tonight. You're not getting laid. I was like, you fuckers, man.
Yes, I brought someone that makes me look ugly.
Oh, God. I was like, thanks, man. But I had a good week. I did the Comedy Magic Club, which is always hard because it's got to be clean.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't mind being clean, but when you have to be clean, it's like when I used to do those cruise ships.
Makes it harder.
I used to do cruise ships. I do 30 minutes G-rated comedy. And within because there's little kids there. Within 5 minutes, a little baby would start crying. And I would work it into my act. I'm like, that's my agent. Or like, I would get heckled by five-year-olds. I had a five-year-old going, boo. I'm like, look at me, buddy. I'm your future. So I would, I would know it. But that was hard. But it was good. The Comedy Magic Club was great. Then I did the improv last night. I got the check spot, of course, which is
nice.
What's when they drop all the checks on you. So you're on stage and you're doing well, and all of a sudden, like a joke bombs. Like, why is people not laughing? Yeah. You look up, everyone's paying their bills.
Everyone's trying to do math.
But the worst is when back in the day, I used to get I used to work at these kids' parties in New York, and I used to get the ice cream spot. Nothing was worse. They dropped the ice cream on all these little kids.
Oh no!
And
it ruins
like
everyone's day.
Everyone's like, ah, ice cream, and like so the ice
you're
cream
whack.
Spot was fucking, it was over. That was, you did not want to get the ice cream spot. So, but that was cool. I had a good time. I had just shows all week. And Bubba, how was your week?
My weekend was good, man. I'm a family guy. I just hung out with the family all week. Watched a lot of preseason football. What else? We didn't have too much
of an eventful weekend.
Yes, we did go to Bellator. My boy AJ had a first round knockout. Got some pretty good tips online too, so it was good for the company and good for him and good for the fighters.
Really, so AJ McKee, who's on a Bellator prelims,
yeah,
which you have to stream on Strike Spike TV, got some tips.
Yeah,
see fighters like that should show you that if this dude's getting tipped and you have to go out
and he wasn't even on the main card,
you got to be a hardcore fan to watch him.
Yeah,
imagine
absolutely.
What you could do if you
but the hardcore fans, the ones that are streaming live on, they're the ones that are like, you know what, I'm into the sport.
Yeah,
I really
yeah.
feel invested in this guy. I really want to tip this guy. That was a great first round. It was exciting.
Now,
I mean,
now
he had a guillotine.
In AJ's corner, were you like fiending to get it back in there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always, anytime I go to the fights, I'm fiending to get back in here. My palm starts itching and sweating. Someone grabs me, I'm automatically dragging them into a headlock or something. So it gets pretty intense when I'm there. But it definitely gives you the right jitters. I would say, the nervous crackhead around a pipe jitters.
Nice.
It's more like, I'm ready to go. Kind
Tyler,
of
how was your week?
It was good. We're still waiting on baby number two to show up. I had a couple shows. The Flappers? On Tuesday, I was at the Ice House in Pasadena. Friday, Saturday for
it's
a couple
a girl.
Of shows.
You're having a girl.
You think it's a girl?
Yeah, you got
a. We're gonna be surprised, so we don't know yet.
I'm about to have a girl vibe.
Yeah. All right. I'll be happy with either as long as we're healthy. And I think boys are more trouble. I think I'd worry more about
really?
A girl.
Yeah.
Boys are more trouble. I think boys are more trouble. I think I'd worry more about.
Okay.
A girl.
Yeah. Okay. I understand completely.
Yeah. My boy is all over. Reckon you hear something in the other room? It sounds like a tornado.
Yeah.
He's doing something.
Your kids have the best laugh.
He's
I'm making him laugh. After the show,
down.
I was doing that whole high five thing where I give the kid, he gives me five and I pretend he's hurting me.
Yeah.
And they think it's the funniest thing.
He is cracking up.
He was, it was like the cutest laugh. Now, Elias, you're in town. You're in LA. You're from Canada, from Toronto.
Yes, sir.
You're 11-0, undefeated.
12-0,
undefeated, won the Ultimate Fighter. So how's life, man?
Life's good. I just signed with a new management team, a Paradigm, and I should have a fight coming up soon. I'm really excited.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of cool stuff in the works, and it's just kind of work in progress. The sense is hard work just gets you more hard work, and
right,
I'm really excited for all of it.
Now, I was you're such a like a mystery to me, man, because I was watching some of your fights
last
night
online. Wrapped in an
enigma.
Wrapped in a puzzle.
Well, you are. Because you've only been doing this for 6 years.
Yeah.
So you started when you were, what, 20?
21 after
my
first year of university.
Do you have any background in mixed martial arts?
Nah, I used to be a semi-pro skateboarder, and I played baseball before that.
So you have nothing?
No, I just, one of my brother's really good friends, he's been doing it forever, and I went and I fell in love with it. In university, I was enlightening the mind, I thought the body should follow, and soon after, I found out they were intertwined.
So you went into a gym at 21, and you must have been getting the shipping out of you.
Yeah, by like a 16-year-old, like my brother's little friend, or my little brother's friend, who was like 16, 17 at the time, he was just choking me out, like, just, it was really
playground
humbling.
Choke. Yeah, where's my lunch money?
Exactly.
Where's my lunch money?
Exactly.
I'll get it next week.
Exactly, and I'm the big guy, right? And he was a lightweight, so he was maybe 170, and I'm 215 pounds. He's just choking me out like a little rag doll, throwing me around.
But can he do a kick flip?
Exactly.
You're going to teach me some tricks this week.
Exactly.
So I'll teach you.
Just hit him in the back of the head with it. It 6 years, it's a short time, but it's also time on mat. Like I've been, like, once I got the bug right away and I fell in love with it, and I knew right away that this is what I wanted to do. And obviously I was focusing on my schooling, and once I finished, my parents were like, what do you want to do? And anything we'll do it. And I was like, I want to go to Thailand, and I want to have my first professional fight. So I went down to Thailand by myself and had three kickboxers.
By yourself?
Yeah.
So, how did you know how to get around and stuff?
Honestly, just things kind of just work out. So
Uber.
Uber. Exactly. Exactly. Or tuk-tuk, I guess, would be the option there. And no, I fell in love with it. I had two fights in one night
In
Thailand, and then I had another fight later, and it was awesome. Like,
you hook up with any Thai chicks when you're there?
Well, of course. Of course. When in Rome, do the Romans.
Were you ever surprised and like found a dick on one of them?
Hey, try everything twice, I guess. Well, you got to do it twice, because if the first time you could have just been nervous, the second time.
You didn't perform.
It just would have been embarrassing if he or she whipped out one bigger than me. Then it's like, oh, damn it. Now this is really awkward.
Next time. I'll get him next time.
Yeah, exactly.
So, now, you told me you were 12-0 as a Thai fighter, correct?
Yeah, kickboxing in general.
As a kickboxing.
Like some San Chow. Like, I won a provincial championship in San Chow, kickboxing. A bunch of smoker fights in between as well. So a 12 actual record is what I have.
It's amazing. I mean, let's fast forward to, like, you and GSP became very close, right, in Canada?
It's the idea that TriStar in general. Faraz has opened up the door to us, and it's also the necessity, because there's no one my size and my skill in mixed martial arts in Toronto. It's very hard. There's one or two, but it's scattered, and I have to – I got – like, in the individual sports, I got really great partners all around. Like, I'm really fortunate to train with the Commonwealth and Pan Am champ. In wrestling, he's 240 pounds and he throws me on my head. And there's no one in my weight class that's going to do that in comparison. In that aspect, but obviously in TriStar, and specifically with the guys that I was on the show with, open doors. And it's really crazy to have the moment where George is basically congratulating me on my success, and also buying me cheesecake.
Cause really?
He's a sweetheart. Yeah.
Now,
he's even nicer than anyone thinks he is. That's the crazy part.
Now, like, is he coming back?
I hope not. Honestly, it's up to him. Like, honestly, like, in the idea of, like, being a competitor, I want to, like, it's inspiring for someone to be able to walk out on their own accord. Like,
yeah.
No one leaves in the sunset like that. You have, like, there's other examples, like Chuck Liddell. There's other people, like, chasing that specific taste of past glory, and they always fall up short. So even though George didn't, let's say, have the I wasn't impressed with his performance at the end,
yeah.
I guess one might say. And the idea where he left in such a devastating way, it was just, no, he finished on top.
GSP. He was one of my favorite.
That is my favorite MMA line of all time.
Yeah.
When someone's like, oh, did you like the fight? I'm just like, I was not impressed with the performance. that's the line right there. And GSP is nice. I met him at one of the doctors down here, Dr. Kessler's.
Yeah.
And he took a picture with my mom, took a picture with my son, and my mom was all giddy about it. I'm like, hey,
of course.
Calm down.
Exactly.
Calm down, all right. Now, relax.
Now, I know you were on the cover of 11 romance novels.
Ten
romance novels. You're a big actor. You did some acting, right?
Yeah, I've done some acting.
Are you ever concerned that you're just going to be in one of these wars where your nose is going to be in the other side of your face?
Well, moving out of the way is the best option.
And not right? be hit.
Yeah, exactly. Can't touch this.
That's what it's about.
But no, obviously, yeah, again, I signed up for this. This is what I want. And with all the other stuff, it's always going to be there. And my passion is mixed martial arts. And that's why I'm so excited for my next fight. And the idea to show everyone all the hard work that I put. Because I love going three rounds. Because I get better and better every single round. And I get to just honestly show off.
You say you're a cardio machine. That was yes. You're the king of cardio? That
cardio
was
king, yes.
Cardio king. Now, what's your secret to being the cardio king?
Honestly, genetics aren't fair.
You either got it or you don't.
Really? Is that true?
No, I believe that. Yeah. I believe that. Yeah. You either have it or you don't. Like, sometimes, you know, there's guys that I can beat the hell out of in the room. And if we did a 40-yard sprint, they'd be 20 yards behind me. But we run 1 mile and they're coming in, you know, half a mile ahead of me. I'm just like... You either got the run genetic or you don't. You either got that cardio or you don't. You know, some people got it, some people don't.
And obviously there's hard work. It's not just going to show up and be like, hey, whatever that meant. But the idea is, again, you have to work hard. But for me specifically, I have always used that as my ability to kind of learn because I'm always playing catch up. My cardio would allow me to kind of neutralize. And that's why
you're like a Canadian Clay Guida?
Yes, ish, with better hair. But and I'm taller, so. But the idea is, I just neutralized them and then found a way to win. And since then, because I'm a jack of all trades, because I don't have a wrestling background, I don't have a kickboxing background, I did that all in conjunction. The only reason why I split them all up, because Ontario, where the province that I'm from, it was illegal to have mixed martial arts. So I would have to go to a jiu-jitsu competition. I would have to go to a kickboxing competition. I'd have to split it all up in between. And now I'm at the point where I have my strengths and I have my weaknesses, and I'm slowly building up the weaknesses to the equal.
Now, your
strengths.
Last fight, I gotta say, because first couple fights, you came out, you were ripped, and you're like this like Adonis guy. Your last fight, you had a huge belly, and I'm friends with you, so I wanted to make jokes, but I was like, I don't want to hurt the guy's feelings. Thank God you won. But now you gained 32 pounds overnight?
Yeah. Well, going back to the idea of the gut, well, I'm on TV, so I get laid anyways. half kidding.
Half kidding, but I'm half serious.
Seriously, I'm on TV.
That even means you get laid a little bit, or you get lots of blowjobs?
Just a tip. What were we talking about this earlier?
I'm a fighter, yeah.
The idea is, again... with the weight cut, it's an own advantage. It's another skill set, and my body's really good at kind of going down. I walked around because I did my camp in Brazil. I may have had one too many acaís and a couple of Brazilian steak places where I was 235 pounds.
235?
Right? Yeah, 235, and I fight at 185. So then what ends up happening is it's just the intake down, and the puffiness, it was actually, if you saw me straight on, you would see abs. Or sorry, if you saw me straight on, it looked a little puffy. Side, you'd actually see the abs. It's just, or vice versa, I can't remember. But it's the idea that was actually my intestines. It's the up and down. And it's honestly a trial and error in the idea of understanding my weight cut. And I walked into that cage 217 pounds, which was 32 pounds the next day.
Now, did you have an IV to help?
Yeah, I did an IV then.
So is that going to affect you?
Yes,
that
is. And that's why I'm no longer 230 pounds. I'm I'm not happy weight, and I might have another one of those romance novels, so abs will pay the bills.
Yeah.
The idea is I'll probably be about 215 off-season from now on, and then slowly trim down to 210. I'm going to do a practice weight cut because I've been using IV for quite some time. But with the same sense, I'm honestly very happy to give that up because I'm really excited to all the other people that are going to deflate and just the UFC. I'm so excited because I have nothing to hide.
Bubba, have you ever gained 32 pounds overnight?
I would say 26 was my biggest, but 26
That's a
and
lot.
32.
Compared to the ratio of
the
weight?
Yeah. But I've been there before where, you know, you get off the scale, obviously you're ripped up, you're jacked, you just weighed in, so you're feeling like a model goddess, God kind of thing. So you're feeling great, and then you go and put the weight back on, and you wake up in the morning, day of fight night, and you're like, where'd all my abs go? Yesterday I was jacked, today I'm going to be looking a little flabby in there. But no, it happens because when you put so much fluid back, there's like a little bulge, and it's usually on the left side of my body. There's a massive bulge of where all that fluid is, so it's not a straight-on, flat six-pack, or eight pack like it normally is.
Yeah.
There's like a nice little bulge on the left where all my fluid is, and it kind of
the intestines.
Yeah, kind of mushes everything to like one nice solid rock of a dab.
I mean, you won your fight. You fought a guy, Roger Navarez, who's a good fighter. Yep. Beat Luke Rockhold. Yep. I mean Luke Barnett. He beat Luke Barnett. And you won. I mean, you won. You broke his hand, right?
Yep. The really cool thing about that, I think my coach and I had talked to you about it, where it's the idea that he and I were obviously in the cage, and my coach was saying, he's going to break just like he did in the Patrick Cummins fight. And he turns to my coach and goes, no, I'm not. Then he turns back, and I literally broke his arm. So I broke him mentally and physically.
Now, was that the one where you faked the low kick and went high?
Yes.
That was pretty damn. That was a really tricky move.
Yeah. No, I honestly love kicking, and there's so much more that I want to show that I was able to. I haven't actually told many people this, but I was actually planning to do the Showtime Pettis kick because it was the same time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was going to do the Showtime Pettis kick on that thing, but he broke beforehand. I was going to do it in the third round. Like, I was practicing all in camp because I got some really cool shit that I actually have planned in the near future.
But that's what I like about you. Like some fights, you're just a grinder. Mm-hmm. You know, and in other fights, you're like a kickboxer.
Yeah,
you know, it's like you could see the development. Mm-hmm. Back to the pussy part. So, the last time you came on the show, you had hooked up with a bachelorette.
Yeah.
It was the girl's bachelorette party, and she blew you, right?
Yes. So basically, I was the ambassador of fun, and this is a while ago. This is a while ago. I've since then I am
the ambassador of working hard.
exactly. No, what's called now? I am no longer of. I'm in relationships now. So yeah. this is a while ago.
Yeah.
So the idea that basically. There was a bachelorette party, and anyone knows that's a good time. And I was hanging out with her, and she's like, we're partying, and we kind of just went on our own separate way. And we started to party, and she's like, I can't go back with you, but let's hang out. And we did such things.
So she gave you a blowjob.
I'm not neither confirming or denying, but there were things that happened.
Did you feel guilty that this chick's getting married, or do you feel like you were doing her a favor because it's not going to work out anyway? So this is a good reason.
I do not. Honestly, it was because she was an adult, and she didn't actually have much to drink, so it was the case where we just had fun.
The husband's probably doing the same thing.
Exactly, blowing people in the back somewhere.
Yeah. Also.
No, but then the cool thing was, the amazing thing was, I actually left with the bridesmaid.
Oh, nice. You got the whole wedding party.
Yeah. And you got an invite.
I was a decorator.
Did they invite you to the reception? Or?
Exactly. I was the flower girl.
Of course.
Wow. White wedding. Have you ever hooked up with a bachelorette?
No, sir.
No, sir.
I mean, I never had the opportunity.
Yeah.
Not sure if I would. Not saying it's anything morally. I mean, if you're a guy at a party and the chick's hitting on you, I don't care who the chick belongs to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's everyone's fair game. You know, it's right. A community bike, so to speak. But yeah, I've never had the opportunity. So
merry-go-round.
But you know,
it's a community bike. There's a lot of community bikes where you grew up.
Yeah, hell yeah! In my hood, man, you see everybody rides that bike. You know what I'm saying? You see the bike at the store outside of 7-Eleven, you're like, oh, someone else is using the bike this week. Community bike.
A
community bike, community cat, there's community dogs, you know?
Yeah.
What?
Well, in the hood.
Community. Yeah, I got you.
And that's everyone's dog. Whose dog is that? No one knows, but it hangs around and everyone feeds it. That's Rufus. Yeah,
that's cool.
Okay. Yeah.
Rufus is cool.
Yeah, Rufus is that dog.
That's cool. When I was at that job where I used to give lap dances to girls, I was in a play. But it was interactive play, and I was in my 20s. I was all ripped and tan and fake tan and earrings, and I'm
excited.
Those were good times. Those were some good times.
Do you have any pictures?
No, thank
of
God.
You specifically. Okay,
thank you. I appreciate that. Now, you're settled down. You have a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Now, when you were on the Ultimate Fighter in Canada, you're like a big fish in a small pond. I mean, mm-hmm. good-looking guy. You're on the Ultimate Fighter. You win it. How many chicks are hitting you up on social media, like sending you naked pictures of themselves? Are you getting a lot of that?
What's it called? The people are obviously trying to have a conversation with me in any sorts of the way. And hey, man, that's only 50% of the market. There are some dudes that are also very
really?
Interested. Yeah, hey, man. What's it called? They have so much disposable income. Are you kidding? I wish I was gay. The amount of money that I could get thrown out.
Wait, guys, you know, offering you money for sex?
No, not money to have sex. I just meant disposable income a market. Like, that's why settle yourself for 50%.
Right.
Yeah, like, he wishes he was bi so he can double
exactly,
up on his profits.
Double dip. Double dip on trust the tip.
Absolutely. But chicks, were they sending you like topless shots or like...
Yeah, well, again, there are very eager fans out there that want to get some attention, and I appreciate the love nonetheless.
Wow.
Got to capitalize.
You got fans in every direction, though, because you got the romance novel ladies, yep, which is crazy. And then do those women, you think they know you're a fighter? Or?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Now they're starting to know.
We make that a key thing.
Exactly.
If you do another cover, are they going to make you do it in your Reebok fight kit?
No. Actually, the cool thing is I'm going to be the basis of the first ever MMA series in Harlequin, and I'm going to be on the cover of all three series that are coming out for it. So my mantra is your son's favorite fighter, your mom's favorite book cover.
There you go.
Now, I talked to your coach. Is he out there right now? Your coach?
He's somewhere.
I like your coach. Now, he was saying that sometimes in practice, you're very difficult because you have really bad ADD.
Oh, the worst. ADD, ADHD.
ADHD. So they said that, like, sometimes you'll pull off amazing moves. Other times, you're like, it's like your first day in the gym.
Yeah. No, again, it's a process, right? Like, everyone has their strengths and their weaknesses. And my biggest strength and my biggest weakness is my inability to color in between the lines. And I've been able to honestly use that in just being – because, I have an art background. Like, that's what I went to school for in many ways. More advertising than one might say. I'm advertising the brand that is myself. But the idea is – for instance, like I'm able to pull off those moves, like the Showtime Pettis kick, but also into a takedown. What's it called? I jump off the cage, kick him in the face, land southpaw, and then take him down.
But he was saying that, like,
but like, yeah, no, and again,
like, when you actually get into the fight, it's the best because you have to be focused.
It's the only time I'm completely mentally and physically focused.
But you're also dyslexic, right?
Yep.
So was that hard for you growing up?
Yes and no. It's the idea that I was able to work around it. There's 72 different types of dyslexia. Mine is
27, going verbatim. Actually.
I was like, wait, did I read that wrong? Dyslexia strikes again.
You're just being a dick.
Yeah, it's all good. No, I actually thought you were, you had me there.
Tyler Bow.
Well played, sir. No, the idea is, like, mine was always the case where, again, you know, the confidence that comes from me is my own way of working out of it. Because my thing is, like, you know, reading in front of class when you, like, you had to read the book for everyone or whatever. That was where I would just be completely nervous. Everything scrambles. It's my ability to project completely out to whatever is there. And for instance, the biggest example was I was on the Canadian version of The Amazing Race. So I was the first one out. Because what ended up happening was we had to do a broadcast, and something I've done many times over, but I had artistic freedom to do it. So, for instance, you would have to go through the whole thing, and then they wouldn't tell you what you did wrong because you had to do it verbatim, and they were just like, wrong. So what I did was just jumbled different words. So it was gorgeous goal. I said glorious goal. But they don't tell you that you did it wrong.
Mm-hmm. Are you reading off a teleprompter?
Teleprompter.
Yeah.
So
that's tough for everybody.
Exactly.
I fucked up teleprompter so bad one time. Oh, it was live. It was like hosting a music show. You could have put like a highlight film of all the things I fucked up. It was terrible.
Blooper reel.
It's hard. If you have to like practice a lot for that. It's pretty hard teleprompter. And people make it look easy because you're like, oh, I could do this. It looks easy, but they're professionals.
Yeah. No, again, it's just the idea that, like, if you're able to kind of like go with it, I would imagine you're very capable of, honestly, you go off the line, you just kind of pull through and just cheer on. But this wasn't. So, the crazy thing is it was actually the most broadcasted show in Canadian history, too. So my first loss is a mental loss, and that's how I look at it, and the idea that I didn't pull through and I didn't focus. And it's actually really cool because, like, I get to learn defeat in a way that doesn't really count. If the worst thing that happens to me this year is I lose a game
show.
Your
girlfriend was on it with you, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did she give you, like, a second-place blowjob afterwards?
And a pat on the back?
Yeah.
It's going to be all right.
Speaking of which, so one of your rivals, you and Sam Alvey, have been going at it on Twitter. He called you out after his last fight.
Yep.
Fight before his last fight. He wanted to have a fight with you where if you lose, you would shave your hair.
Which is not fair because he has no hair. He wanted to do a hair. It doesn't make any sense.
So we are going to call him right now.
Cool.
We are going to have the Elias Theodoro Sam Alvey.
Animosity's going down, baby.
Press conference. Press
Shit's
conference.
About to get real.
Right
the
now.
Smile versus real. The hair.
The smile versus hair.
Hello.
Is this Sam Alvey?
The one and only.
How's it going? You're on the MMA Roasted Podcast. It's me, Tyler Bow, Bubba Jenkins, and Elias Theodoro. How are you, man?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys all doing?
Good. We're a big fan of you, Sam. I was watching some of your fights last night. Man, damn, you hit hard. Holy shit, man. You have some serious power. I was watching some of your fights, your knockouts of Dylan Andrews, Cesar Ferreira. You hit hard, dude. You hit hard.
It's always been the goal. People like seeing knockouts, and I try and please people.
Yeah, well, you are. You're a very pleasing fight. Your last fight was rough for you. You fought Derek Brunson. It was. Do you think that fight was stopped too soon?
Yeah, absolutely. No. That being said, no excuses. I was getting my butt kicked for the first 2 minutes. He came out blasting me left and right. But it was stopped too soon. I actually talked to the referee afterwards, and he said it was too early. He said, who knows what would have happened with another 5 seconds. Maybe I would have got punched a lot more, but I felt like I was in a good place to recover.
Yeah, no, it seems like, you know, you have that knockout power, and it seemed like Derek Brunson came in with his hands down, and I would have liked to have seen what would have happened. You know, it definitely seemed like you were a little bit out of it, but at the same time, you're one of these guys that one punch could change a fight, you know?
Yeah, you know, I've been there before, unfortunately. he started way faster than I was expecting. Every fight I'd seen before then, he was always kind of a slow starter. He never pushed forwards quite that much. And here, he just blasted me, put me on my heels, and by the time I was kind of finally getting my senses about me, the ref stuff stepped in.
Do you think that because your last three fights before that you had won by knockout, that you had maybe fallen in love with your power too much?
Yeah, I think I was. It was a technical error on my part. I wanted to move a lot more. I kind of, you know, if you look just before he pounced, we were kind of just staring at each other, and that was not my game plan. I knew he wanted to get the takedown eventually, and I wanted to keep moving, and I just didn't. We kind of locked eyes, and he was faster at that moment.
Well, you know what? You're a winner in life. One of the reasons you're a winner in life is your wife is so fucking hot, by the way. Jesus Christ, how did you get that girl?
Well, first off, I got to say, you're on speakerphone. She's sitting right next to me.
Oh, so,
nice.
Yeah, she's blushing like crazy right now.
Oh,
but
nice.
The answer to your question is, you got to pray. It is about praying every day and hard. Good Lord came down and touched me on the shoulder and said, Sam, this is for you.
No, you guys were training together, right? She came into the gym?
No. When we met, I had never fought before. When it was after we met that I started fighting, so we kind of started training at the same time.
Oh, wow.
That's cool.
So she knows the sport better than I do.
Oh, how did you guys meet? Was it like a redhead convention or something? How did you guys meet?
Soulless of the people
we were
unite.
At the Bristol Renaissance Fair. I was selling steak on a steak, and she was selling a bodice. And her boss and a buddy of mine introduced us, and you know that was just over 10 years ago now.
He hit her with that smile, and it was over.
Yeah, no. Now, you were also a semi-pro trumpet player.
Wow.
Do you still play the trumpet?
I do. It's why I was actually just tooting around on it a minute ago. I'm not nearly as good as I once was. But, no, I used to be pretty good. I played for about 20 years. And it was really when I started fighting MMA that I put the trumpet down. I just didn't have enough time to do everything.
Wow, that's
yeah,
cool.
You don't want to be in a fight and blowing.
Yes, exactly. No, no one does. I'm an avid skinflute player, so it kind of all works out.
No, there we go. Now you're here with Elias. Your fight before Derek, you had called Elias out. You guys have been going back and forth on Twitter. You really want to fight Elias. Some of the things that you had said about on Twitter, you go, I get your hair defines you, but my cage doesn't define me. Awesomeness is earned. You said you've been calling him out for months. Your spirit animal is the kangaroo. His is a snow squirrel.
Undefeated snow
said,
squirrel.
You said he's Prince Theo.
Theo, adorable.
So, why do you want to fight Elias so bad, and why do you think you would beat him?
Well, have you seen him fight? The dude's a stud. I want to fight him because I got fighting or knocked out of the night once. I guess it's a performance bonus now. And they're addicting. I mean, I've been scratching constantly, rubbing my gums, everything. I need another one. And he is the type of fighter that I can beat and get another bonus with. Whether it be fight of the night or another performance bonus, I he's the kind of fighter that will help push me, that will impress Dana White, impress the fans.
But why do you think you could beat him? I mean, the guy's 11-0. He hasn't lost. He's 12-0. He's 12-0. He hasn't lost. What is it about Elias'
phenomenal
style?
Phenomenal dancer as well, but it's neither here nor there.
That you think you could beat?
I think I can beat anyone. And that's really the answer. He's got that charisma, too. You put a microphone in front of him, I think it's a very marketable fight. I think not many fighters, he and I may be the only two, are willing to go on the same show and say, hey, let's fight each other in a couple of months. And do it in good enough spirits.
Yeah.
As opposed to, most fighters, they go out there and they just kind of start cussing at one another.
Now, it seemed that Elias took offense about shaving your hair, right?
That is where I drew the line. Like, I'm not that rude, but that was honestly rude and possibly a little racist, but I'm not going to get into it. What's called that? I appreciate your kind words, and honestly, like, I think you're a great fighter, too. It's just the idea that I am the controller of my own destiny, so I don't like anyone telling me what to do, but I appreciate what you did because people now know you because you called out me, and that's how it works out.
Mm. Shots fired.
Sam, would you like to respond to that?
I like calling out the people I like.
I know. I was called.
I've seen you do your interviews. I've seen you do a little bit of everything, and with the hair doesn't have to be on the line. Like I said, I'd be willing to bring it down to no conditioner for a week.
That's putting the hair on the line. That's putting the hair on the line.
No conditioner for a week.
That is a huge condition.
Now, Elias, you had responded to Sam and you'd called him Bambi.
Yeah, well, yes. In regards to his last fight and the idea of the wobbly legs and it's called, and again, just different philosophies and the idea that I don't know how you didn't know that Brunson's very quick to start when what he did to a ginger previously with Ed Herman, pop, and just dropped him. I think you're a great fighter. And I just think there was many different mechanical aspects that you did in failure. I think, again, it's a learning lesson, and I wish you nothing but the best. But I'm going to let you know that I may have something planned in the near future. I'd love to fight you, but we'll just have to wait and see.
No,
all right. No, I've been waiting. I've been waiting like 6 or 7 months. If you don't want to fight me, that's all right. Mm-hmm. I understand. I can move on. And honestly, I wouldn't blame you.
No, it's the idea that, like, what's it called? It's just in the sense that you got to earn the right to kind of fight me. I think one or two more wins, and then we can dance the aggressive dance in the cage.
Guys, how much control do you actually have over picking your opponents? Is it something that you suggest and that maybe Joe Silva or the guys would think about, or do you have your managers press on that, or how much control do you feel like you have?
Some might have more than others.
Now, are you concerned about Sam's power? Because he's obviously...
No, well, he's a counterpuncher, and it's no offense to your work. It's just you beat up a man that's well past his prime. You knocked out a guy with no chin, and you lost to Tom Watson in a very embarrassing way. Then you throw the fact that you didn't prepare for a fight with Brunson, who is completely explosive. He attacked you with his hands all over the place. If anyone knew how to shoot, they would shoot down. You talked about the idea that you've never been defeated, or boring fights have been what have defeated you. They're what we call smart fights. There are many different ways to beat someone, and I think you are very beatable, and I honestly just want to drag this out so that I can beat you mentally, physically, and possibly sexually.
Sam? Hello?
He's gone. I win. First win.
You know,
sorry.
What was that?
You know, at this point, you haven't fought in like a year. It's real easy to be a backseat fighter. It's real easy to sit from the couch and tell someone how to do it.
I'm in a chair. I can stand, too. I can do this. Look, Ma, no hands.
At least compete again.
No, what's called, honestly, the idea is I have, again, you made fun of me in regards to my crappy appearance on The Ultimate... The Amazing Race. Again, one would say my dyslexia is something that I can't control. Just like you being ginger, so I guess we're both even. The only positive thing is I have a soul. What ends up happening is, honestly, like, I'm just half kidding about half of what I'm saying. It's just what I would say is the idea that I'm the master of my own destiny, and I'm not just a fighter. I have many different projects in there, and I chose to not fight until when I am planning to fight, because again, I'm the master of my own destiny, and I wish you nothing but the best in planning your destiny.
Ballin'!
Sam?
It kind of sounds like a little stalling.
No, not really.
I decided when I was going to be in the UFC. I didn't want to be in the UFC until...
Did you decide how to fight
career.
In the Ultimate Fighter?
Well, but you got to admit, Sam has been through... I mean,
he's honestly, dude, you're a veteran. And, dude, I've actually watched you in your MFC days. Like, I think you're a great fighter. I'm half kidding with half of all I'm saying. I respect you nothing for the fullest and the idea that you are another professional fighter. And honestly, I respect all the people that jump in the cage, whether they're successful, whether or not, just to have the balls, the tenacity, and the drive to do that. And especially someone that is supporting his family. And you have a beautiful family. And I wish you nothing but success. It's just the idea that... Again, I choose what I want to do because I do what I want.
If Sam would have beat Derek Brunson, would you then want to fight him? Would you have given him the fight?
Yeah, well, yeah. There's another aspect. Again, it's chestnut checkers. I think what was dangerous about you is not your style, because I think I could beat you 11 times out of 10. What the actual issue is the fact that you are coming off 3-0, or you were coming off of 3 knockouts, and let's forget the Tom Watson appearance, but the idea is you were 3 fights with 3 knockouts, and I could beat you. But can I beat a top 10 guy? Possibly. Am I ready for being champion? No. And I don't want to bite more than I chew, and I ain't going to fight out of my pay bracket. What I am doing is collectively getting myself to the place I want to do. It's chestnut checkers.
But you're also on the Ultimate Fighter contract, right?
Well, yeah, that's another aspect too. And what ends up happening, it's not even about the Ultimate Fighter. It's the idea that, like, I need to grow. I'm always playing catch up because we talked about this earlier. I've only been training for 6 years, and there are people in at the top that have been doing wrestling since they were 14, jiu-jitsu since they were 10, and I need to learn. My biggest asset is my ability to learn, but there's still a lot of learning to be done.
Sam.
Hello?
Hey, I'm all about the learning. I'm same boat as you. I like I said, I was a trumpet player until I started playing.
I know that. Honestly, when I heard that, that was actually badass as fuck. That's badass as fuck.
Yeah, no, I was reading about you, Sam. You started in, like, pancration, right?
Kind of. I did do pancration before. I did MMA, but it wasn't anything I ever really trained for. I kind of like MMA. I didn't start training for that until I was well into my professional career. At the beginning, I just thought it was fun, somebody let me fight in a cage. Yeah, it was legal. I said, yeah, I'd do that. And eventually they said they'd pay me. I said, oh,
that's bonus.
Fantastic. Suckers, I would have done it for free.
Fair enough.
It just kind of grew from there. Now it's, you know, all I do. It's fighting. When I'm not fighting, I'm hanging out playing with my kids and wife. But now it's fighting is my career.
No, and you know what?
What's up?
And it's so much fun watching you because I've never seen a fighter smile on the way to the octagon.
Cool,
it looks like you're genuinely having fun in there. And that to me is like, you seem like a nice guy who also has fucking power. And even like your fights are kind of funny because you're like flat-footed. You're flat-footed and just throwing bombs. It's almost like you're like a throwback fighter to like who's the tougher fighter, which is so much fun to watch. Like your fight against Cesar Ferreira, you know, and you've been going into people's backyards and knocking them out. Even like your fight with Dylan Andrews, the guy took you down, you just reversed him and punched him twice and he was out. Your fight with Cesar Ferreira, you're sitting there, you just connect and the guy's out cold. It's really,
down goes the chin.
It's really cool to see. And I've actually been a fan of yours since the Ultimate Fighter. I actually remember your wife on the Ultimate Fighter more than you. and you were kind of upset on the Ultimate Fighter, and I was like, oh man. But then you went into Bellator, you went into the MFC, you came back. And you know, you've been up and down the ladder, and I wish nothing but the best for you, man.
Hey, no, thank you very much. It's been a hell of a career, and I really do. I love being there. I love it. If I didn't like it, I wouldn't do it. I really like it. That's why, you know, I fought 5 times in the last year. I'm hoping to fight. If I could fight another 2 times this year, I'd do that. But I got to find the people to fight. I'm really hoping Elias chooses his own destiny.
Thank you.
In the cage. I think he's probably smarter than that. But I gotta say though, if you're talking about you don't want to fight out your pay scale, I believe I'm ranked at like 24, and I believe you're 25 on the Fight Matrix. We're about as closely ranked as a fighter could be.
Statistics. He hit me with that.
Statistics. Dyslexia. What do you mean? You mean 25th or 52? Life's confusing.
So,
okay. No, I totally understand that again. But now we throw the fact that you just lost your other fight. So, you have your family to feed, and I totally respect that, and I wish you nothing but the success. But I will have my chance to go in the cage, and when you pick up your win or your two fights in this year, and then it has every, we have every right, and I'll even put the hair on the line.
All right, but there might be a time though where Elias, when if you say you lose, right? Mm-hmm. Hopefully you don't, and mm-hmm. Sam goes on a winning streak. That he may be, the same thing where it's like that happened with Jake Ellenberger and Tyron Woodley, where Jake wouldn't give him a fight when he was ranked higher, and then Tyron was ranked higher, and he's like, "Fuck you, I'm not giving him a fight." So you got to be careful with that, you know?
Yeah, no, be careful what you wish for. I totally understand that, and obviously, I'm not a gambling man because I already do enough gambling in my life.
By not wearing condoms?
Yes. So I'm wearing two right now just to be safe.
Oh, nice.
What ends up happening is, it's just timing. All this is all about timing. It just didn't work out. I had some other stuff. You took a fight, and now you lost your fight, and I got something in the works, and hey, I honestly would love to fight you in the near future. Because I honestly, all jokes aside, all little jabs aside, I think you're a great fighter. And I would love to...
Do you think you could finish Sam?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, most definitely.
First round?
No, not in the first round. I love being there longer and longer.
So you think you could finish him in the second or third round?
Second or third round.
And Sam, how do you see the fight going with Elias?
I see it going as long as he wants it to go. And
yeah, baby, we'll dance. I'll dip you.
As soon as he drops the hands, you're gonna come out with that right hand.
The right left combo.
Right left. Land,
but I'm gonna do what's called a level change, pick you up and dump you on your head.
Wow, this is good, man. This is like the nicest, trashiest talk we've ever had.
It was the nicest, most built-up animosity.
Now, by the way, Sam, I got to tell
you. I'm Canadian. We're polite, eh?
So Bubba Jenkins is here. I don't know if you know Bubba. He's a national champion wrestling. He's a Bellator fighter. Currently 12-2, right?
9-2. But you're speaking to existence.
Yes.
You're right.
So he has this thing called Tip a Fighter, where if the fans like the way a fighter's fighting, we could just throw you money.
Or if they like your smile, or like your red hair,
or if you win money,
your left-right combination.
They want to help out with your family's sunscreen budget for the month.
So it might be a good thing for you and Elias, by the way, to become a Tip a Fighter fighter, because you guys are fan favorites. You do have a huge fan base, and I know that you win a lot of people a lot of money, especially your last three fights or your three out of four when you were the underdog. And I'm sure fans would like to throw you some money.
It's like the ideal that some people have bet on you and were like, "Oh, this or bet against you. This guy's gonna lose, and then you hit him with that combination. And you drop a guy, and you've made someone else $5,000-$6,000. And like, you know what? That dude who smiles a lot, I'm gonna send him $500 because he just saved me $6,000.
Yeah,
with that knockout. So it's a pretty cool thing for us fighters. I'm a fighter myself, like he said. So it's for the fighters by the fighters. It really is to create another revenue stream for us, especially since the Reebok deal is not going all the fighters' way, and we're independent. So it's a good thing for fighters, and I'm gonna be talking to Elias about it, and obviously we would love to have you because like you said, you're a crowd favorite, fan favorite, and people love nice guys who just get it on, and you're that guy.
It sounds great, Pat. No, that sounds like a wonderful idea. I got a
really
couple
does.
Fighters I might even like to.
Oh, great, great, great.
Yeah, absolutely. Me as a fighter, I wanted to – if Rory McDonald and Lawler were on Tip of Fighter at the time, I would have sent both of them $100. No question about it. I would have sent both of them $100.
Now, Sam, does your wife have any hot model friends?
She's got plenty of hot model friends. She's still pretty tight with a couple of the gals from her season even.
Nice. Well, we have to hang out, by the way. I'm starting a thing called Tip a Model, where I give model my tip.
Just the tip.
Tip. Listen, that was our press conference. Any last words for Elias, Sam?
Hey, we're talking about all these tips and everything. Elias, I've got a tip for you.
Okay.
Don't fight me. Keep running as long as you can. Because when we finally meet up, I'll never be too big for you, I promise.
Awesome.
But it's going to be a bad day for you when we meet up.
Only time will tell.
Nice. All right. That was our Elias Sam Alvey press conference.
Nice.
Thank you for tuning in, guys.
That was a good one.
And I'll talk to you guys soon. Oh, that was fun.
Man, that was good.
Yeah.
I'm over here sweating.
Bubba, what are your thoughts on that?
Okay. I got a couple thoughts. Okay, and I listened to it. All right. The first thought I is wanted was that Elias is the lion and Sam is the hunter, and because he's the lion, he wants to put him on his mantle in a sense that, you know, he's got the fans, and that's why he's like he's building up. He's the guy that he wants because, you know, obviously Sam can go kill a cat and, you know, and have it as a hat, but he wants that lion.
Right.
He wants that lion to put on his mantle and be like, look, guys. I hunted this motherfucker for 5 weeks, and I finally saw him, and I finally got him, and now that lion's head is hanging on my mantle. That's kind of what he wants.
Yeah.
And the second thing is, I love the animosity that was like, oh, you know, joking here, there, but they were just like, they were really going at each other.
Yeah.
Without yelling, without, you know, without getting too much. It was awesome. I think that was our best press conference.
Really?
Yet. Yeah, man. It was witty. It was smooth.
And you didn't have to jump up and down and try to hype it.
Yeah, a lot of times.
I know you were telling.
Like the girls. It's like,
did you hear what she said about you?
It's funny how not of a press conference it is. Like, because I'm the only one in, like, it's yoked up.
But the ultimate hype
that
man.
That one is a little different because, number one, he's here. But also, I don't want to make it seem like we're gang up on Sam, you know what I'm saying? I want to give everybody their respect. I have a lot of respect for Sam.
Yeah, me too.
Both you guys.
Me too.
I mean, there's obviously you're my friend. I don't know Sam, but he seems like a really nice
yep,
guy.
Yep. Yep.
You can tell he's smiling during the whole conference. You know,
yeah.
He was just, you know, even when Elias was taking jabs at him, he was. Okay, you know, I can see him in his
still
car
smiling.
Driving,
yeah.
Smiling like, oh, I like that. Right. But I catch your ass.
you guys are both, you're both so, like, you're cordial, but at the same time, you're both very confident in your own ability. So it's kind of like, have you ever been in a situation where someone at the office is like, you know, well, I think we should do this, I think we should do that. And it's like, well, agree to disagree.
Yeah.
You're like, well, I'm going to knock you out. Well, I'll knock you out, but let's keep it friendly.
I feel like Elias has more weapons. As far as like Sam, as far as it seems like Sam right now is pretty much like a banger, yep. You know.
He's got that puncher's chance.
He's
man.
Always got that puncher's chance, you know.
For
but
sure.
you don't drop your hands that much.
Nope.
And you know, so I feel like in some ways you'd have the advantage, but he has the experience factor.
He definitely has,
you know,
the experience.
He's a guy with 30 fights. You know, you're a guy with 12 fights, right?
Yep.
So.
Or is it 21? Dyslexia. Damn it.
So it's like you have that, but you have less mileage. But you're fresher. But he has the experience. He's seen you. You've never yep. seen him. So it's a weird fight. It's an interesting fight. You know, it's a good fight. I would love
so.
To see the
I
fight.
Think so. I think it definitely is. And it's just one of those things where I think our destiny is slowly chipping together.
It's like, one of those fights where you can't make a mistake.
No, definitely. No. He will make it. He'll make it cost.
Yeah. And he can make a lot of mistakes.
Yep.
But you can't, you know. But I feel like if you do everything right, you could.
It could be an easy win.
Could
be an easy win.
What's an easy win against Sam Alvey? The guy's a fucking grinder.
Yep.
You know, even that Brunson fight, like most people, I'd say that was a good stoppage.
Yeah.
But with him, it's like I feel like it wasn't a good stoppage. I feel like
give him a chance. Well, give him a chance, ref. Give him a chance.
I think he would just be delaying the inevitability of it. Yeah. It's the idea that he woke up Bambi. Like, you know what I mean? He stood up like Bambi.
Brunson
like,
has
even
hands
going
down
up,
though.
Oh, he does. He did have his hands down, but the amount of athleticism that's just like he's so fast twitch in regards to his bombs.
He's black. Yeah, he's fast twitch. I mean, he's black. I mean, whatever.
No,
you know what I mean.
No, but I mean, in the way he is, though, like in the idea that, yes, he is black. Is what I'm saying. No, the idea that he is really, really, like, look what he did to Ed Herman. Like, right out of the gate. And that's why I was like, no, Brunson has never really come out slow.
Yeah, that was a bad game plan.
Yeah, it's going to be a slow and steady wins the race, not pop.
I would say never assume you guys that comes out slow and steady, right?
That's especially when you
you're the best in the first 60 seconds. Everyone, if you realize, if you watch every fight, everybody is on point for the first 60 seconds. It's about 120 seconds in. That's when people start to make a little bit more mistakes. But you know, that's the most focused you're ever going to be within.
Why would
the first
you assume the guy's
going
to come out slow? That's just a
bad assumption for any fight.
I would almost assume he's going to come out fast.
Yeah, always.
I'd rather be.
I'm going to assume he's
going
to come out to lose. That's what he's going to do.
But if they come out, if you're planning on for everyone to come out fast and they come out slow. flow, it doesn't throw you for a loop. But if you do it the opposite,
but Sam does have that power, man. That great equalizer, and it's and you look at him and you're like,
but he relies on the counterpunch. That's the thing. Every time he's knocked someone out, it's his back against the cage because someone ran it right in front of him. I know for a fact that speaking with training partners of the last two people that he fought before at Brunson, is the idea that they didn't really take his hands serious, and they're just like, yeah, whatever, I'm just going to take him down, or I'm just going to run right at him and do what I want to do. Again, it's just you just fought someone. They literally ran into his plan and his fists, which are the same thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Again, I'm not taking anything away from Sam. It's the idea that those guys lost fights. Sam didn't win.
Oh, no, come on. That is taken away from
me.
Fuck that.
I'm not going to throw shots, but...
I'm not with you there.
Shots fired.
You win a fight in the UFC. I mean, there are fights where I'm like, did he look good or did the other guy just look terrible?
Okay. Okay.
But I don't think that
was a fight like that just recently.
Definitely not with Caesar.
I can't remember. The last UFC fight night, maybe a week ago, it was like the guy didn't. Oh, the Silva fight.
Derek Silva?
Silva looked bad, but the other guy looked great. You know what I mean?
I thought Magny was going to win that either way, though.
Yeah. I thought
if it was the old Silva, I thought Magny.
Wait, what did you think of Melvin Gallard, by the way, this weekend? You were there. You guys both.
Yeah, I was there. Yeah. I'm surprised we didn't cross paths.
No, we did not. Yeah. But
he almost came back in the third.
Yeah. Yeah. But that was more with Grits. Yeah, sorry, go on.
In the third, after he's lost two rounds and got
slams.
And given up a tech fall in freestyle, my man got thrown all over the place. And listen, I'm a big Melvin Gallard fan because we have a lot of the same attributes. We're black, we're explosive, you know, people love our hair, you know, stuff like that.
You seem like you're a lot in a better place in life than Melvin's ever been.
He definitely seemed a little bit down, obviously, after the fight, but mentally watching him walk out and stuff like that. I mean, it wasn't that he wasn't focused, but it was like you could almost see all the pressure of everything that he's been through on his face as he was walking out, in a sense. Like, man, it's almost like I gotta win this fight. I gotta do this. He's thinking so much instead of like, whoa, here we go. You know, we're about to go get it on.
State champ wrestler?
I'm not sure.
From what I read about him, he was like a good wrestler, but his takedown defense was pretty. There's that guy, an All-American in Minnesota. Yeah. He had some good double legs. But
slams were
amazing. Gallard handpicked him, that guy. He said, I want to fight this guy.
And not only did he get taken down, but if you saw the first big punch that landed in the fight.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. His eyes swell up. Melvin's eyes swell up, but I thought it was over. Obviously, he's got a chin. Melvin's got a chin. Yep. Oh, man, he got hit so many times, so big. When you're there in the crowd, you can feel the punch. When you watch it on TV, like, oh, that was a good punch. But when you hear the crowd go, oh, boy, I'm like, oh, boy, he's going to die. You know, his eye's going to fall out, you know. But that overhand right, like a fake shot overhand right to a double, to a five-point throw, was, you know, my tip of the night. You know, I'm like,
that kid was good.
If you signed up with me, I'd give you $100 right now because I'm a wrestling fan, so I obviously like the slam. And, you know, as a growing technician on my feet, that right was flush. Yep. You know, Melvin didn't see him. The slam was so perfect because Melvin had no clue where he was. The double leg was inevitable. You know, he could have doubled at any time, especially after that punch. And he would have landed the same thing. Yep. It was beautiful.
So, guys, we have our second press conference right now coming up. We have two guys fighting for the Titan FC Championship. Rick Hahn, who's an Olympian, took ninth in the Olympics in judo. Ninth, which
that's
is
impressive, man.
Pretty damn impressive.
Ninth? Do they place ninth, guys?
Whatever. He took ninth.
He got a ribbon. He gave him a ribbon.
And he's fighting Bam Bam Healy for the title. Bam Healy for the title. This guy, I'm looking forward to hearing this. This could be, I think Rick said it was going to be an easy fight for him. Which is, I don't know. Pat Healy is not easy for anybody. This dude is...
No, definitely not. Even with the mileage and even with all his...
Actually, Pat just texted me. He broke his phone and won't be able to do the interview today. He will make it up to you. Do you want me to
my broken text message phone.
Okay, all right.
Professionalism. Yeah.
So... Okay, all right. So I guess we'll just call Rick Hahn right now.
Let's
call Rick Hahn.
Nice.
Yeah, Elias, you want to just talk some trash to him just randomly?
Nice jabs.
Hello,
is this Rick Hahn?
This is him.
How's it going? It's Adam Hunter, Bubba Jenkins, Elias Theodoro, and Tyler Bowe. How are you, buddy?
Good. Thank you.
So we were going to have a press conference, but Pat Healy broke his phone. It's just gonna be us. We're just gonna talk to you because Pat Healy can't do it. So you already won the press conference. Just so you know.
Congratulations.
Oh, there you go. Thank you.
So how are you, man?
Doing well, man. Just getting ready to teach a little bit jiu-jitsu a little bit and training and getting ready for this big fight.
Yeah, I was looking at some of your stuff, man. So you're 20-4. You're originally, you grew up in Chicago, moved to Oregon, right, when you were young?
Yeah, I didn't really grow up in Chicago. I left when I was two. So.
So you grew up in Oregon.
I grew up in Oregon.
Where'd you live in Oregon? I'm a Portland guy.
Oh, cool. My mom's from there, too.
Okay. I grew up in Eugene.
Oh, right on. I went to U of O.
Oh, perfect.
Nice.
I don't know where my mom went.
Nice. Now your father was into judo as well, right?
Yes. Back in before I was born in Chicago, he started doing judo back then. And then after when I turned 12, he got me involved, and he got back into it at that time as well.
Nice. Now, you took ninth place in the Olympics. You were a two-time Pan Am winner, which is pretty damn amazing. I know that we've had Olympians on in the past. They're not very happy with the way the Olympics treat Americans. What's your feeling on that?
In what way?
Like, it seems like other countries, they really take care of their Olympic athletes. Like, they become like professional. Whereas like Americans, we give you like a cheeseburger and like a pat on the back.
You know, that really depends on the sport, especially, if you're like a big sport like swimming or track and field, you know, they're treated very well by their national governing bodies. Judo, not so much, maybe wrestling, might be the same way. But yeah, the high profile sports are obviously treated a little better.
You think that's bad? You should see Canada. Their budget is basically nothing in regards to the Olympics. So I totally feel on that. Like I train with a lot of the guys out in the national team in Guelph for wrestling. So I just know the struggle. And there's a couple things that I'm actually trying to do to give back in any way, shape, or form because they let me use mat space.
Right. You've had a lot of great victories, man. What victory are you the most proud of?
It wasn't exactly a specific person. I think it was, it was for the lightweight title, my first time for Bellator. When I won the tournament, to me that was to that point was the biggest victory of my career, just because of the meaning, behind it, with the tournament and all, and having that opportunity was at that time was huge for me.
Yeah, I watched some of your earlier fights. You threw a lot of crazy judo throws, which you don't see a lot in MMA. But it seems like you had some crazy like arm throws to some punches, which are pretty damn badass. Are we going to see more of those?
Yeah, I'm bringing those back out of retirement. I kind of got stuck with just being a striker, and I got decent at it. So I was kind of forgot my roots and. I'm kind of going back to that now and going to bring, the old version of me, plus a newer version, with the striking and all that. So I got to get back to what got me where I'm at. So that's hopefully what I can produce, during my fights and hopefully my next fight.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got some serious power. I could see why you would get away from it. Right. Now, you're also pretty famous in underground circles for a very famous woman that you dated. Can we talk about that?
Sure. I never really dated her. It wasn't really dating, I suppose. But,
all right. So word is that Ronda Rousey and you dated for a while, or didn't date, or you just hooked up. What was that experience like?
I don't know. Well, where'd that come from? Who rumored that stuff?
I'm just saying that's the word on the street that you and Ronda dated. I just heard it. Some people, because I said Rick Hahn's coming on, they'll ask about Ronda. And then some people are like, don't ask him about it. And so I just want to make sure. We can always cut this, by the way, if you want.
I just want to know, was there any judo stripper going on?
Yes.
Mm.
Take down loses.
Oh. Or wins.
No, what was it like dating Ronda? Was she a good girlfriend? Was she crazy? Or?
I wouldn't say we dated. We were friends. We were teammates. We lived in the same house.
So, I mean, that was pretty much our relationship. It wasn't, you know, we were just good friends.
Was she crazy?
Who tattoo?
Was she crazy in bed or no?
I wouldn't know.
Oh, come on. All right, fine. Not, all right, Rick, fine. You can be a gentleman.
Be classy.
Be classy. Don't give us the goods. All right. We'll have to promote our podcast somehow else. Listen, okay, so you're fighting Pat Healy. What do you know about Pat?
Well, he's been around a while. He's got a ton of fights, a lot of experience. He's a grinder, you know, he goes forward, you know, tough guy, wears a lot of guys down, you know, just because he's so gritty and he comes at you. So, you know, I'm excited for this fight. He's got a, you know, he's a big name guy. He's been around a while, so it's definitely a bigger opportunity for me.
Now, are you hoping that a win here gets you into the UFC?
You know, if it happens, it would be very cool, of course, you know, but, you know, if it doesn't, then, you know, I just keep going and see what happens. But, you know, if I have a dominant win, you know, maybe there's a good chance that could happen, but we'll see. You know, I'm just going to go out there and do my best, and whatever happens, happens.
Nice. Well, you seem like a real nice guy, man. You seem like a very easy guy to like root for. By the way, you seem
thank you.
Nice guy.
I try to be. I'm not normally a dick.
I can see why Rhonda liked you. So nothing, huh? All right. So, well, listen, Rick. We are going to be rooting for you, man. You're a good guy. You're an Olympian. You represented the U.S. in judo. You got some serious power. You beat Caro Parisian twice.
That's cool.
Did you and Caro have a lot of bad blood?
Yeah, he was the only person that I've ever fought that I legitimately didn't like. You know, we had some past history in our judo, and you know, so that was the one fight that I was really happy that I got to, you know, beat the piss out of him.
was he very arrogant towards you?
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, that's just kind of who he is. But, you know, going back, you know, 15 years ago when we used to compete against each other, we were in the same weight class in judo and stuff. So, you know, that was always the same as it is we see nowadays. So,
gotcha.
Just didn't get along.
God, well, I could see why you wouldn't get along with that guy. He seems like a very...
Yeah, a lot of people don't get along with Parisian.
Yeah, well, he just seems like a very arrogant dude. Like, he thinks he's better than people. So, and Rickon fucked him up twice, so that's good. All right.
Face.
Listen, man. Well, good luck, Rick. We're all going to tune in September 19th. Sorry, the press conference. Pat Healy, he broke his phone.
We're talking about congratulating him on his first win. He won the press conference.
Yeah, you won the press conference.
Default. Default.
By default. We're all going to be rooting for you, and good luck with everything, brother. And if you want to call him with some crazy Ronda Rousey and bed stories, feel free, because we all want to hear about
pictures. Or pictures.
Or pictures. Thanks, Rick.
Appreciate it, guys.
Take care. All right, that was Rick Hahn. Really nice guy.
Yeah,
not sweet. The fireworks we had in previous press conferences, but, you know, it's hard to have that when you only got one guy on board.
Yeah.
Well, you're never alone with Jesus. So.
Now, by the way, our press conference today were brought to you by Remove It Restoration. If gang members have taken over your place, if your place is full of graffiti, if your place is all messed up, there's only one person to go to, and that's or one place to go to. That's Remove It Restoration, 1-888-424-9697, or removeitrestoration.com, as well as American Icon Autographs, the best sports and celebrity memorabilia and events. Check them out at www.aiase.com. All those cool giveaways that I give out, that's from them, American Icon Autographs. Tip a fighter. It's time for these guys to get paid more. Elias, you should sign up with them.
Yeah, no, we're definitely going to have a conversation after this.
Yes, because a lot of middle-aged women will be tipping you.
And then rub one off.
Left and right, I'm telling you. Tipafighter.com, check them out, as well as Chimera Coffee, become the legend. It's coffee with nootropics. How often can you say that you're drinking coffee that helps counteract cognitive impairments such as Alzheimer's, brain injuries, dementia, and Parkinson's? You won't be able to say it. I am more focused than ever right now, and I credit all to ChimeraCoffee.com. So, back to the Bellator fights. There were a couple. Marlies Kona looked pretty good.
Which one was that?
The first girl fight on the main event.
Yeah, she got an armbar finish.
Yeah, absolutely. Real tough fight. And you know, those girls love the armbar, so, you know, you can always see some good wrestling going on and some good jiu-jitsu.
And the Justin Renn fight was great.
That was entertaining. Yeah. Did you see my man hit him with the, hey, yo, your shoe's untied? Oh, yeah. Did you see that?
You can't help. Oh, did he really do that?
No. Yeah, he was fighting. He was fighting, hands down. They had, like, you know, a little heavyweight scramble kind of going on. They both retired, and Justin Renn hit him with the, like, point to your shoe kind of thing. Like, yo, your shoe's untied. The guy looked down. And Ren hit him with a right. It was amazing.
No, Ren did great. I gotta say though, not to take anything away from Ren's win, because he hasn't fought in 5 years,
right?
And he is a, the guy, talk about a role model. What he's doing is like unbelievable. Yeah. The guy he fought though, Josh Burns, had never beat anyone with a winning record.
True.
Which is probably good though, because if you get a guy with 5 years off,
yeah.
Throw him into against Czech Congo or something, or you know, or some other like maniac, you know, a guy like
It was a good, entertaining fight. It wasn't lopsided in the sense that, like, okay, Ren was obviously the better fighter, but he had the 5 years of rust. The other guy was coming out, you know. There was a couple blows like, if you kept going just then, you know, he might have been second guessing. Man, that's 5 years is a long time, because he hit him with a couple good shots where it was like, keep going, but you know, the gas tank at that weight. Is, you know,
it's amazing. I like after the fight when he was talking in that language that they use over at the Congo. He was that was pretty damn cool. I give that guy a lot of credit. I don't even know how you'd even do. Did you see it?
I just saw the highlights. I saw
afterwards. He was like, I don't even know what he was saying. He was speaking the language of pygmies.
Mm-hmm. But in all, it's an amazing cause. And yes, there's a lot of work that he needs to do. But he did show moments of brilliance. He is an NCAA. I believe winner, isn't Ren?
He was in high school. He was a 2-time Olympic national Greco-Roman wrestler.
Technical terms.
Dude, technically. There you go. Throwing those knees, like that was...
Yeah, no, there were some devastating knees. And again, he had moments of brilliance, and in the idea of the 5 years of ring rust, and again, the cause. He's a person anyone can honestly get behind.
Right.
In the idea
we were actually talking to him at Tippin' Fighter, and the thing about that was cool with him was he was like, okay, if it's an 85-15 split, okay, awesome. Now, how much of that can go to my charity? We're like, you know, whatever, how much do you want? He's like, okay, I want 85% of my 85%. I want 100% of my 85% to go to the charity. Yeah. I'm like, okay, so you want all of your tips headed to the charity? He's like, absolutely. You know, I don't need anything for myself. I'm already cool. I want to make sure that we can get water in Africa. I'm like, bro, I'll call you back in about an hour and see if we can do a better split of getting more to charity. Instead of giving you an 85-15, we'll donate a certain percentage of our 15% that we're getting to the cause and, you know, work out something.
Yeah, he's
but
great.
He went into fight mode, you know, so we didn't get to put it together quick enough, but we're still going to be talking to him. But to have a charity like that and for him to really be setting up for it, you know, putting his money where his mouth is, like, you know, no, he could have got tons of tips for his performance, his cause, everything that he had going on, and giving it all to the charity, which is amazing. You know, there's people out there that you don't meet like that.
Now the Bellator tournament, I know this is tough for you because your college guy that you went on the recruiting trip is Phil Davis.
Yeah, my host was Phil Davis.
He was like a big brother to you in college in some ways.
He's a black man's cousin. You know how they say, "Oh, that's my cousin." That's my cousin. I got 32 cousins.
So Phil Davis.
Davis is my related black cousin. You know,
he's fighting your teammate Emmanuel Newton.
And he's fighting my boy Newton
in the first round.
Yep. So you know, and that's been announced.
Who wins this?
Man, it's going to be hard to say because I wouldn't say that Newton's got the Sam Alvey kind of thing, but he's got a puncher's chance. He's got that spinning back fist. So anytime you think he's in trouble or he's running away, he'll turn around and spin back bitch the shit out you. So, you know, you never know. He's defeated really good wrestlers in Malawal, you know. So, but, you know, I know Phil Dave works hard. You know, he's developing. You know, a lot of people, he beat Glover without really having the technique that a lot of guys who
and beat Gustafson.
Glover. And Gus, I mean, he's beaten a lot of good guys with just his all-out heart, you know. His technique isn't always the greatest, you know. So, I mean, he's getting better, though. Every fight that I see him, he looks better.
Can he take Newton down?
Yeah. I mean, he's a national champ wrestler.
Yeah.
I think the takedown is inevitable, but can he keep him down? Because I've seen a lot of people take Newton down and not keep him down, so to speak. And he doesn't have Davis doesn't have the jiu-jitsu that Liam McQuarrie has, so that's really half the reason why Liam was able to neutralize keeping him down kind of thing. So it's an exciting fight. Yep. You know, I'm going to be there. I told him I won't be in
Fresno?
San Jose. Yeah, I told her I don't want to be in anybody's corner, you know, because I don't want to. Obviously, if I'm in Newton's corner, I can tell the things that Phil Davis isn't good at.
Exactly.
You know, I've seen Phil Davis throw a snowball, and it looked like 50 Cent throwing out a first pitch. he's not black athletic where he could do a backflip and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But he's a hard worker, and he brings that. You know, like we were saying earlier, the cardio thing. A lot of people. It's like basketball. If you're not, you don't have the best crossover, you have the best jumper. You know, Dennis Rodman sucked at those kind of things, but he hustle, which made him a really good player. If you don't have the best technique or the best striking, but you're a cardio freak, you just hustle and grind and hustle, that atones for some of those things. So, you know, I know Phil Davis,
the only people he loses to, he lost to Rashad Evans,
mm-hmm.
he lost to Anthony Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
He's a problem with the brothers, man. He's like the opposite of Kim Kardashian.
It's that athleticism.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's that once you get to that point where the athleticism gets up there, then you know Phil has a hard time keeping up with that type of style because he lacks in that field. You know, but I'm excited for the fight. I can't
speaking of which, so today is my first day of coaching wrestling.
Amazing.
I coach his middle school team. And Bubba's going to come help coach.
That's
so
awesome.
So I'm bringing in a national champion to these 11 middle school kids.
And I'm going to teach them stuff that you got to fix all year. Don't go to your back. Oh. You're going to be fixing my stuff all year.
Plus, I have a torn ACL. So like even like my moves, I teach. It's hard. I'm always like, I hope my leg doesn't give out. I was taking jiu-jitsu, and this kid had me in an electric chair. And I have that wrestler's mentality. Yeah. But I can get out of this.
I'll never tap.
And then I heard pop. And I was like. So now I got to get surgery, but I got this TV show I'm doing, and they keep pushing it back, which means I keep pushing my surgery back.
Yes.
You know?
Oh,
so
gosh.
It's just like, it went from like February to March to now October to now November to I think December. So so it's going to be good to have Bubba.
Yeah.
I'm like, Bubba, teach me.
Putting in the work.
Yeah. By the way, I forgot to mention this last time. So a couple years ago, I went overseas with Sam Tripoli to the troops. I've done 8 overseas tours. I've been to,
amazing.
You know, Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, to Japan, to Saudi Arabia, to Kuwait, to Bahrain. And they asked me, hey, can you send fighters over here? So I've been helping coordinate it. So right now, Shayna Baszler, Jessamyn Duke, Matt Hughes, Tyson Griffin, Mike Richmond, and...
I've been seeing Instagram.
I think that's it. I think those are the 5.
Yep.
They're all overseas right now, putting on seminars. Oh, and Vince Pichel for the military.
That's amazing.
So if
that's
you guys
cool.
see them on Twitter, they've been working like 16-hour days. I mean, the troops are so excited, especially for a guy like Matt Hughes.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
who
yeah.
Like,
yeah. Mr. Nine Times himself.
I guarantee
himself.
Everybody in the military that is an MMA fan, Matt Hughes, you know, not to discredit the other ones,
but
like that's like having, like I was telling my dad, I'm like, it's like having Larry Bird teach a basketball clinic.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's like, it's just right, at that right. level. So if you see them on Twitter... Or the people, just make sure you guys give them a thanks because they're not getting paid very much. And they're doing it mostly out of their own, all out of their own kindness. And the troops, they're really excited about it, you know. Plus, they tell me that like I remember I sent Cody Bollinger and James Krause. I helped send them. They went to me. I went through this girl Amanda Early. Amanda helped coordinate it. She's over there managing them. But they would say that they roll with the troops all the time, and the troops are all like, yo, I'm a white belt, and they're like a brown belt, yeah, purple belt. They're like trying their hardest to say that they like subbed the UFC guy, you know? Yeah. So these guys are actually
competing. Don't you hate that, though? You're like, okay, I'm going to teach you a couple things, and they're like, oh, well, I don't know anything. And then they go balls to the walls trying to get that medal, trying to get that. Oh, yo, yeah, I tapped that guy. That went, yeah.
I tapped the UFC guy.
I tapped Matt Hughes where? Yeah. In the cafeteria. He didn't see it coming. But,
No, that's what Mike Richard was saying.
I got him.
My friend was telling I think Shane was telling him that Mike texted him going, yeah, this guy said, oh, yeah, I did this a couple times. He was like a college All-American wrestler, you know.
Oh,
and
wow. like, those guys.
Sandbagging.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, sandbagging.
Yep.
Where it's like where you go lower than the actual quality that you are. Mm-hmm. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, sandbagging.
Have you ever done that after a show where you just killed and you get off and some like younger comics like, man, how long have you been doing this? And you're like, oh, it's my third time.
Well, when Elias saw me, like, what happened was Saturday, the new haha was being Maserati was doing it, so I went to the Shaky Town.
Yeah.
And it's like mostly like a lot of bringers. Like,
yeah.
So then Elias and his friends are like, dude, you shouldn't even have been on this show. I'm like, well, you know, but like, you know.
Yeah, no, it's funny.
Well, they needed my help, and you know, I'm a good guy. What can you do?
Oh, it's so funny. But yeah, there was Yeah, so make sure you talk to those people. Fights coming up this week. UFC 191. John Dodson, Demetrius Johnson. This is going to be a good fight.
It's going to be a good fight, man.
I really hope John Dodson can pull this off. I'm a huge John Dodson fan. He's been on the podcast many times. You won't meet a nicer guy than John Dodson. Can he win?
Yep.
I think he can, but it's
Will
the idea that I don't think so. I think Mighty Mouse is honestly one of the best fighters in the world. And it's unfortunate that he doesn't get the credit he deserves and the idea that people don't understand and don't respect it because he's not a heavyweight throwing bombs, right?
Right.
What he does, and again, my coach Lachlan has the hugest boner for his coach. It's called Matt Hume. It's the idea what they have done is so amazing. And the idea that also, again, to credit where credit's due, and the idea of Matt Hume and what he's been able to pull off, and the idea that many of the people that he's touched have been champions. Like, look what he did with Franklin. You could talk about even the idea of what he did at Bosch is like peak in regards to his ability. Like, he has a great support system in that. And honestly, I'm actually going to just fan out and geek out and just watch a whole bunch of Mighty Mouse's fights because it's like so fast you can't really appreciate it until you watch it like four times over.
Like that first fight, Dodson,
it was a
good hurt him.
Yep.
He said, you know, when you're the winner, it's almost like I do what I did and I'll get the victory. When you're the loser, it's like, okay, I could have capitalized here. There's more to learn from the losses. So it definitely makes a better fight. Obviously, you know, like a wrestle off. When the first wrestle off happens, you know, first dual match between each other happens, the guy might beat him by 8 points. But the better that guy gets, you know, the more often they wrestle, the score becomes five, then becomes three, and now it's a 1 point match.
Yep.
The more that they fight, the closer the fight becomes.
Now,
so
do
it's
you think the first
for him.
Fight, Johnson was surprised by Dodson's power? Like, he was underestimating his power, which is why he caught him. Because he dropped him, I think, in the first and the second.
I just think it's so fast at that level that sometimes with the speed, the power is there, and you just don't see it, you know? Like he was saying, he's one of the best Johnson's one of the best fighters in the world. And us as fighters, we know because at that level, it's faster. The speed of it brings the power.
Yep.
That, you know, the pace is much higher. So everything about it at that level, that size, it's a little bit more difficult. You know, if I was a heavyweight, it's, you know, four punches around. You know, kind of much slower. When you're at that level, it's like four punches in every second. You know what I mean? So you got to have a lot more defense. You got to have a lot more cardio. You got to have a lot more technicability. I mean, you got to have everything going for you. You know, so if you're a wrestler at the heavyweight level, you take a guy down, that's the end of that round. At this level, you know what I mean, it's much harder. So I understand the smaller guys, you know. If everyone's like, oh, 45, every weight you go, the speed changes, you know what I mean. So is that 25, they're much faster than 35 45 45, I mean, it goes up. So I'm a fan of just watching this type of speed and type of athleticism all wrapped
in
one.
I can't wait for this fight.
I'm
hoping Dodson wins. I like Dodson.
It would be great for the division. It'd be great for the division if he does win, because then it opens it up, and it doesn't force that Ronda Rousey aspect where it's her and then everyone else.
And don't forget, Dodson knocked out TJ Dillashaw.
Yep.
I mean, he's a guy knocked out the 35-pound champ.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I worry about is, like what your coach was saying, is in the clinch.
Yep.
Is that when he was in the clinch, Dodson was getting hit with a lot of knees.
Yep.
That it was like,
and he accepted it. That was the even worse part.
That's what I'm a little nervous about.
Yep.
Is that. So, all right. So, I'm picking Dodson. You're picking.
Oh, my gosh. I guess I got to go with the champ, Johnson.
You?
I'm going Dodson because I tried to talk to Johnson about Tibba Fighter, and I was like, hey, man, we got this thing. Oh, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Well, it's for the. I'm not doing it. I would never do something like that. I'm like, something like. All right. Everybody that fights you, I'm going for the other guy. So I hope the reign is over and I'm picking
up. Elias?
I'm going to say the champ continues.
All right, so we got 2-2. Arlovsky-Mir. Andre Arlovsky versus Frank Mir. I'm picking Arlovsky. He's looked like a changed man. Frank Mir and Todd Duffy, I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And not to discredit Todd Duffy, but, I mean, he was throwing punches from his waist, you know, and leaving himself wide open.
Mm-hmm.
And not that Frank Mir isn't amazing and a badass.
And has had a renaissance in his own right.
Really, though? I mean, he's won.
I think so. Well again, if you're talking about specifically in regards to talent, then obviously Arlovsky's smashing much better talent. What he did with Travis Brown is amazing. Like that, I did not see that coming. And his renaissance, and again with his own personal struggle, like I've heard him talk about like, the idea of fits of depression and just the ability to overcome that. And from a Russian background, where talking about your feelings, you don't do that because in Soviet Russia, you are strong yeah. like bull. So like again, the idea
in
that
Russia,
he can come back
feel
is,
you
exactly.
I'm biased. My fault.
Go on.
Oh, maybe Bigfoot Silva too.
I'm going biased, so I want Mir to win, but I think Arlovski will win. I like Mir. I met him and hung out with him a lot on the Ultimate Fighter show when I was doing it with Bones, and I like Mir a lot. He's a good dude, good people,
bright guy,
great guy, smart as hell.
Should be an analyst. I thought he was great for the WEC when he used to do the commentary.
I was surprised they didn't do that.
Weird. I could sit and listen to him talk about the stars for hours. You know, he's got that whole universe orbital thing going, and I like Mir a lot. But I think Arlovski, just like you said, the renaissance that he's putting on, that, you know, that comeback. Once you have that comeback, it's real to you.
Yeah,
that
momentum.
That taste of, that,
so, and you like?
I like Arlovski. It's almost a shame that they are fighting. Like, I've even heard Mir say that because, again, they're two guys that have put their dues in. And if it was inevitability, like, higher up, well, whoever wins this will probably get a title shot of some sort. So again, there's some. That's
the
nature of the game.
Gets the Fedor fight.
Ooh.
I think that's how they're gonna do it. The winner of this fight's Fedor.
That's cool as hell.
Who do you think does better against Fedor?
Arlovski. Yeah. I think
as long as he doesn't fly in knee again.
Yeah, I was gonna say, dude.
And then finally, our last there's eight more fights in this card, but our last fight we're gonna talk about is Anthony Johnson versus Jimmy Manoa. Anthony Johnson, you know, you just hope he's in the right mental place.
Yep.
You know, I mean, here's the guy who was seconds away from beating Cormier. I mean, he had Cormier like almost out. That was like
on his feet.
And before that, I mean, Johnson was just running through people. Cormier just basically outlasted him. He was the cardio king or king cardio for that fight. But I think Johnson runs through Jimmy Manoa. I like Jimmy Manoa. I just think that they're at different levels.
Yep.
I got Johnson. Yeah.
You?
I got Rumble.
Rumble, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd take Rumble, too.
Rumble. You writing this down?
Yeah, Rumble. Well, listen, guys. That is our podcast today. Tomorrow we have we're doing one again tomorrow, and we have Aljamain Sterling as well as Frankie Edgar on the show. So we have a good good podcast tomorrow as well. I want to thank you, Elias, for coming in. It was a pleasure having you in, man. You're a great dude. You're a great fighter. You're a star, man. And nothing but good things for you. Thank you, Sam Alvey, Rick Hahn, Bam Bam, fix your phone. I want to thank Tyler. What do you have coming up?
I'm kind of just playing it by ear right now because I'm still expecting this baby soon. But I'm probably hoping to be at the HaHa maybe this weekend and just hanging out.
Bubba, anything coming up?
Nope, man, I'm just grinding, you know, same thing, same shit, different toilet. I'm just in this bitch, you know.
Elias?
There should be something happening in the next little bit.
Nice. I will be at the Cleveland Hard Rock Casino this Friday and Saturday in Cleveland. Then the following week, I'm in Miami at the Homefield Comedy Club, and then Edmonton, Canada, followed by Minnesota, the Mall of America, and at the Hollywood Improv this Wednesday, 10 o'clock. Thanks to our sponsors, Remove It Restoration, 1-888-424-9697, removeitrestoration.com. If you have graffiti, these are the guys to go to. Trust me on this one. I am drinking Chimera coffee, and I have never felt better in my life. This stuff has nootropics, brain vitamins. Get it at chimeracoffee.com, chimerakoffee.com. Use the coupon code MMAROASTED. Become the legend. Tip a fighter. Fighters, make more money. You're in there anyway. Might as well get paid some more money,
Free money.
You are doing nothing but signing up, and people are handing you money. You don't have to do anything. Just all you got to do is fight how you would fight anyway, okay? And you're getting paid more. You got to be a dummy to not actually join this thing, okay? Because they're just trying to help out. They're nice people. And finally, American Icon Autographs, the best sports celebrity memorabilia and events, AIASE.com. Sean is the man. Thank you, Sean, for being our sponsor. Take care, guys. Have a great week. I'll talk to you. You'll hear from me on Thursday again. Love you guys. Bye.
Peace.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.